Job chapter 23. I need to get there. All right, Job chapter 23. And we're going to start in verse number 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And let's pray. Father, thank for this day. Thank for everything done for us, Lord. Do appreciate, Father, the opportunity to come here and preach your word. It's not a light thing, Lord. I pray, God, you please help me as I preach your word. Do a work in the hearts of the people, help be an encouragement and a blessing. And I pray, Lord, you please help them to leave today, having gotten something from your word, some material, something we can use for this week, Lord. I pray, God, you please bless and help. In Jesus' name, amen. About 2 months ago, I preached a sermon on the making of a brick, and this is the second part to that message. In the last sermon, we learned that brick making starts with the purchaser, as Christ has already paid the price for the sins of all mankind, and he has purchased us. And we do not belong to ourselves, we belong to him. He purchased us, and we ought to do what he wants us to do. Lord has also commanded the Christian to be a soul winner and dig out the lost and witness to them. Clay goes through the grinders, travels down conveyors, mixed with water, smashed into a brick form called a slug, which is then cut into the individual bricks, and then is moved by a robot to be stacked on what is called a car. We were able to see several different spiritual applications along the process, and we'll now continue down the road about this matter of brick making. So we're going to talk about the cars for a little bit. Each car varies in how many bricks can be stacked on top of it. It depends on the size of brick, of course, and there can be anywhere from 8,000 to over 20,000 bricks stacked on one car. And so on the smaller bricks, a thin plastic netting is laid over the stacks to help keep them from falling over, but sometimes I still do fall over. But this will be burned off when it goes through the kiln. And let me mention also the path of the car is solid and secure. The car rides on train rails, which are embedded in the concrete and secured in place so the car will not get derailed or go off in the wrong direction. It will go along the path that the designer has created for it to go. It goes straight through with a purpose and will arrive at the desired destination. Underneath each car is a cable with a pusher attached to it, which pushes the cars along through the dryer and through the kiln. Actually, that's the only way to move these cars is with a cable like that. One of the types of our bricks is called P-Rex bricks. This is a type of P-Rex brick. And just for one car, I don't know how many can go on one car, but the weight of all these bricks on one car weighs about 68,000 pounds. And as it's going through the kiln, there's two rows that can go through the dryer. There's only one row that can go through the kiln. The kiln can fit about 28 cars, so that's roughly 2 million pounds of bricks that can be pushed through with this little cable, which is not including the weight of the cars, which are made of steel on steel rollers, which with three layers of heat-resistant brick on top of those. And then you got brick on top of that. So that's an amazing thing, and hydraulics are definitely an amazing invention. Then we have the dryer. Once the bricks get loaded on the cars, they then go through the dryer. The dryer itself is as long as the kiln, and it takes about 3 days for the bricks to go through the dryer. The temperature in the dryer is about 350 to 400 degrees, and that is just to get the bricks, the moisture level down to a certain amount. Don't want to take all the moisture out, but want to get it down to a reasonable level. If the molded bricks do not go through the drying process, and instead were sent straight into the kiln, the bricks will become cracked, distorted, and brittle, and will therefore be unusable. So the drying process is very important. This here is a failed brick. This one went through the dryer, but there was something wrong with the temperature gauge, and it turned off the heating element, so it went through the dryer about 150 degrees instead of 350 or 400, and then it went through the kiln. And that's what happened to it. So if it's not the right temperature, if it doesn't go through the dryer first, then it's going to have, or the dryer's messed up, then it's going to have problems for the brick. It's rather dark in the dryer, though not totally dark. There are several light bulbs inside the dryer. And also in the dryer, while the bricks are on the car, sometimes stacks of bricks will crumble on top of the car. Now, there's two possibilities for this. One, there is some imperfection in the brick which causes it not to be able to take the heat. Or, maybe on the bottom, it cannot handle the weight of the bricks above it, and so it gets crushed. Whatever the cause, the stack still crumbles and it all must be cleared out and recycled once it comes out of the dryer. When some stacks crumble on top of the car inside the dryer, we don't stop the dryer to clean it up. It goes all the way on through and we clean it up at the back side. So it has to go through the drying process whether it stands or not. Once the bricks come out of the dryer, then they get a break that only lasts about 20 minutes as it exits the dryer and travels over to the kiln. So one thing to note, that if a brick does not go through the dryer or the kiln, like this one here, this one did not go through the dryer, this did not go through the kiln. Indiana clay is gray, but when it gets baked, it turns red. And so this one didn't go through. So obviously it will not last very long. I'll show you. Breaks pretty easy. So it's very important for it to go through the dryer and the kiln. And so it will harden in the sunlight, but it will not have the durability needed to last a long time. And if you, that didn't take much to break it. Rain will destroy it eventually. And so we have to go through the drying and the kiln. You will not have a durable, long-lasting brick if it does not go through both processes. And so then we have the third part, the kiln. Once the bricks enter the kiln, they are immediately exposed to higher temperatures than what they were used to. They survive the drying process and now will have to endure the kiln. But the kiln is for their benefit. The first third of the kiln is the heating up process. The middle of the kiln is the firing process. And the last part is the cooling process. And all those parts, those little processes are important. There is some light inside the kiln, though not from any light bulbs, but from the fire. On the outsides of the kiln, there's actually this little portal that's about 3 inches wide. And you can look inside the kiln where the fire is coming out of the ceiling, and you can see inside the kiln. It's really amazing. And the bricks are literally glowing as it's going through the fire. The temperature in the firing phase reaches about 1,950 degrees, and the bricks are literally glowing because of the heat. The whole kiln process takes another 3 days. The fire comes out of the ceiling. Big bricks are burned at a very high temperature to gain the strength, durability, density, and color appearance. It's very important for that color. After the fire, when the bricks are cooling off, a chemical bonding takes place, resulting in a hard, dense mass. If too much heat is applied, it will melt the bricks and make them unusable. I've seen melted bricks. We had a car come out one time, and it was just a big round pile because there was too much heat applied, and the whole thing just melted into one big thing. It took a lot of temp employees to get that apart. It took them a long time. I was not one of those, thankfully. It's nice to be able to see stuff from a distance rather than having to experience it sometimes. It's a blessing. So, does going through the kiln guarantee a perfect brick? No, it doesn't. How the brick responds to the whole process, especially in the kiln, determines the quality of the brick. There are 6 ways a brick can turn out after it comes out of the kiln. It can be chipped, cracked, discolored, distorted, hearted, or perfect. This is an example of a hearted brick. It's not even color. You got that weird spot right there in the middle, and if you can feel, there's a little bit of a raise there. That's called a hearted brick. You can still sell these. If you get enough of them, you can still sell them to use them for buildings and stuff like that because they'll all have that hearted look and it'll look even. But you can't really mix those in with good bricks. The response of the clay to the fire determines the quality of the brick, and the desired result, of course, is a perfect brick. This is, wish I had them all the same type of brick, but this is one of our utility bricks. In case you are wanting to buy bricks, you can go to Brampton.com and buy bricks there. So, bring a credit card or something. But anyway, so this is a perfect brick, and there's no chips, cracks, dents, or anything like that. It's nice and smooth, everything's clean, everything's the way it's supposed to look. And so after the bricks come out of the kiln, they're taken on their car to a place called D-Hack. I don't know why they call it D-Hack instead of D-Stack, but that's what they call it. And they're taken off the cars and they're stacked into cubes. All of that is done with an automatic machine, and after it is stacked, the cube is then banded together, labeled, and sent out to be stacked in the yard awaiting delivery to the customer. So that is the process of making a brick. And so we're going to look at some parallels right now. The car represents our Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 43, verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." When we go through times of difficulty, Jesus will not leave us alone. He won't leave us alone, but he'll go through the trial with us. The bricks never get off the car until they have gone through the dryer and the kiln. They never get off. They never get off. So the hydraulic power that pushes the car represents the Holy Spirit that leads us down the path. In Romans 8:14, the Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And that's a great encouragement for us, because the Holy Spirit, I mean, he leads us along, and sometimes it can be frustrating and discouraging, and what in the world are you doing, and why are you doing this to me? But you can know that he's doing it because you are a child of God. And that can be a very encouraging thing. So the hydraulics use the cable to control the forward movement of the car. In the dryer, in the kiln, almost every other place, there is no backward movement of the car. The car doesn't really move backwards at all. It's always going forwards. And that's what the Lord wants for us. He always wants us to go forward and do more for him. Amen. And for the cars, it's either stop or it's forward. It doesn't really go backward. The Holy Spirit will always lead us forward. He'll always lead us to do more for him. The rails underneath the car represents the path that we must take. Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Every inch of rail that the car goes down is another inch that those bricks have never seen before. But the car has been there before. It's gone through carrying other bricks for years. I don't know how long we've had those cars. The plant's been open for, I think, 14 years, and they probably had the cars the whole time since then. And so it's gone through the dryer a lot of times, through the fire a lot of times, and it will be there, and it will remain there. It has gone through those things and never got off course. And Jesus has gone through the fire before, and he made it out okay, and we can too if we stick with him. Amen. The cable represents the word of God. In Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God creates us with a free will. If we want to, we can stop the car, cut the cable, and decide to just stay there. And some have done that. And where are they at now? Where are they at now? It's scary where some are at. We can be disobedient to Christ. We can resist the conviction and the leadership of the Holy Ghost, but all that works against us and is not going to help us, for we will never become what God wants us to be, and the car will sit there forever, and the bricks will never be used. It's a horrible thing when you get down to the end of your life and you're looking back and you're trying to figure out, did I make a difference? Realizing you lived your life yourself and you didn't make any difference really in someone's life. You want to be able to look back at your life, at the end of your life, and say, I had value. I did this. I helped out in this area. You want to be able to do that. We must be obedient to the Word of God and yield to the further leadership and conviction of the Holy Ghost so that we may become useful for God. God purchased us. When we purchase stuff, we want to use it. God purchased us. How well is He using us? We have to be willing to be used of God, to give Him what He purchased and to give Him all of what He purchased. And that is something we got to work on every day. God has a work that He wants to accomplish through each of us, but that work will only be accomplished if we are yielded and obedient to His will. Much of that will is shown to us through the Word of God. So that's the car. Then you have the dryer. In Mark 1:12, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." I would consider the dryer to be wilderness times in our life. Joseph was cast into a pit in the wilderness. Moses fled for his life into the wilderness. God called the children of Israel to sacrifice to him in the wilderness. And God led them through the wilderness for another 40 years because of their unbelief. David watched his father's sheep in the wilderness, and he abode in the wilderness while Saul was trying to capture him. He also fled from Absalom and went into the wilderness. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and sat down under a juniper tree. And Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil in the wilderness for 40 days. But Joseph was delivered by God and eventually elevated to second in command in Egypt. Moses met with God at the burning bush in the wilderness. God worked many mighty miracles for Israel while in the wilderness. David was not delivered into the hands of Saul, who sought to kill him, and he gained the victory over Absalom and came back to rule in Jerusalem. Elijah met with God on the mountain after the wilderness time and heard the audible voice of God, and Jesus came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can have the victory over the wilderness times and the firing times in your life. You may think, well, those were the giants of the faith. They weren't giants in the faith until you read Hebrews 11.
Right. That's true.
Until we read Hebrews 11, we didn't know about them. Yep. And when was the first time you read Hebrews 11? Then we thought of them as giants of the faith. They weren't giants of the faith back then. They didn't consider themselves that way. And it was not their gianthood, I guess you'd say, that should be emphasized. It's their faith.
Yes.
And we all can have faith. We got to have faith in God. Faith is what gets us through many things. They weren't considered giants of the faith until they were put in the Bible. 1 John 5:4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Our faith. By faith we can have the victory. We're going to talk about the kiln now. We're going to look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 19 to 23. We've got the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the plain of Dura. King Nebuchadnezzar, he built that big statue and commanded everyone to bow down. If you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into a burning fiery furnace. The furnace was there probably to melt the gold that was used to build his image. In Proverbs 17:3, it says, "The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold." The gold melts at 1,948 degrees. Seven times hotter would be well over 13,000 degrees. And that's some pretty high temperatures right there. The three mightiest men in Nebuchadnezzar's army that took up the three Hebrew children were instantly faced with those kind of temperatures. And it's no wonder that the Bible says it slew them. You get close enough to a fire.
Yep.
I remember when I was a kid, Bible Baptist in Terre Haute, they had a bonfire out there. And people have bonfires now. They had a bonfire. They had pallets and hay bales stacked up probably 20, 30 feet high, soaked that thing in whatever, lit that thing, and you saw it for a good long way off, and you felt it a good long way off. Now, that wasn't anywhere near 13,000 degrees, but I've been to some places they have, "We're going to have a bonfire," and they have a few sticks out in the yard. That's not a bonfire. That's not a bonfire. But anyway, you can only do so much when you live in the city. Anyway. Providence Baptist College. Anyway. If the men were not incinerated on the spot, then it didn't take long to reduce them to ashes. Yet the three Hebrew children who obeyed God fell down bound into that furnace and were unharmed by the fire. Now, that's a miracle. And it happened because they had, because God was with them in the fire, and God will be with you in the fire. Also note, they emphasized their faith before they went into the fire.
Right.
Notice the fire comes out of the ceiling. It comes out from above. There were times that God sent down fire from heaven in the Old Testament. But God will not apply too much heat so as to destroy us. God's not trying to destroy us, but to make us better for Him. But spiritually, why would we enter the kiln? Why would God take us through the kiln? There's two reasons. One, and this is a great one, for His name's sake. For His name's sake. The phrase name's sake appears 30 times in the Bible. And one of them here is in Acts chapter 9, verse 16, talking about Paul. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And what does that mean? For His name's sake means for the glory and honor of God. God may be taking you through something just so that He can get glory and honor. That's what He did with Job. That's what He did with Job. God had a contest with the devil. And the devil came to Him and was like, I can't touch him. And the Lord's like, okay, let me remove this. I'll allow you to touch him. And that's another thing there. God, nothing will ever happen to you, but it's not come across God's desk and He stamped it and approved for it to happen. He allows things to happen. God's in control of everything. He does it for His glory and honor. Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Sometimes God takes us through those difficulties and those hardships for His own glory and honor. Second reason for the kiln is for our own good. Romans 8:28, we all know it. I forgot it. That's why you write it down, Max. Always write that down. Amen. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What good? What good? For our own strength and ability to withstand the trials and storms of life. I can't develop this too much, but let's just put it this way. You go down here to Main Street, and you see those really old buildings, old brick buildings on Main Street, and they look like the buildings about to completely fall apart. But those bricks, how long have those things been there for? I've been in some towns where you got in the building on top written in brick, 1895 or whatever it is up there. Some of those bricks have been there for 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years or more, and yet they're still intact. They're still holding the building up. They're still protecting that structure. And why are they still like that? Why are they still fully intact? Because they went through the dryer and the fire. And if we expect to make it through the storms of life and remain solid with and for God, we have to go through the dryer and the fire, sometimes multiple times.
Yeah, right.
And the Lord takes us through those. But you can't take a shortcut or cheat the process and still turn out right for God. It's not going to work. Whatever God is doing with you, He is preparing you to make you better so that you can do something more for Him, more for His glory. And by the way, that is a worthy goal. That is a worthy goal. So we're going to look now at D-hack. D-hack. It's where the bricks are stacked, banded, and made into cubes. In Hosea 11, verse 4, the Bible says, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yokes on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. All right, so the bricks are made. Let's talk about the stacking and banding process. Bands are not necessarily a bad thing. We have a king of Israel that was put in bands at Riblah. Nebuchadnezzar put him in bands. That's not a good thing when you're captured. But bands are not always a bad thing. So we got bands for young people, rules of your parents. You got rules in the school. You got Bible standards, Bible preaching, church ministries you're involved in, etc. Young people never get to the point where these bands, where you see these bands as restrictive instead of protective.
Yes.
They are there to protect you, not restrict you. You can. There's a song called Sheltered by His Grace, and the first verse goes yes. like this. I've missed out on heartaches this world feels every day, and I've missed out on a broken home that would steal my joy away. I've missed out on all the things they said I'd miss out on, but I still have a heart of peace while their good times are gone. And we all know people. I'm not picking on you parents who have children who have decided to leave here. I'm not picking on you at all. I feel sorry for you. That's a hard thing to go through. I've not gone through that. Hopefully I'll never have to go through that. Y'all, I'm sure, did your best to train them right, and you kept them in church, and I'm not shaming you in any way. But it happens sometimes. And it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch to see where they're going. And I'm watching it now with some of my family. And it's hard to watch to see what happened to them after they left.
Yes.
And folks, when you walk away from church, you normally walk away from God.
Yes.
And when you walk away from God, it just doesn't go well. It doesn't go well. The more we serve Christ and the more ministries we're involved in, the more difficult it will be to leave church because we have those responsibilities, at least. And those responsibilities become bands of protection. You can still quit all your ministries and leave church and leave God, and some have done that. But it's best when you keep those things in place. More often than not, those who quit and leave church and forsake God are the ones who didn't have much, if any, involvement in their church, and usually they had no personal walk with God. They had no bands of protection to keep them in. So that's the bands for the young people. Bands for adults. We're properly trained, hopefully. We got character, integrity, Bible convictions. We're more mature, stronger in the faith, should be. We got the Bible and preaching, church ministry and involved in, prayer life, etc. Let's imagine the cube of bricks being all banded together is the whole church, and each brick is a member of this church. We have the bands of a godly pastor, Bible convictions, Sunday school teachers, Christian school teachers and rules, preaching God's word, etc. When one brick falls out of the cube, it loosens the band and jeopardizes the safety of the rest of the bricks that are around it. I was loading trucks today and yesterday. And I was driving along, and those forklifts go about 10 to 12 miles an hour. And when you're going that fast, if a brick falls out the front, you got about enough time to hear it hit before you run over it. And so those bands, they break rather easily. And once you hit that brick, especially one of these bad boys, with your forklift tire, it tends to send who's ever inside the forklift on a nice little trip. And then it sends the rest of the bricks that are on the front that are bouncing up and down already as you get on the road. And then you hit a brick and then they're really bouncing up and down on the road. And oftentimes they just completely fall apart. I've had some where I had a brick fall out and I hit that thing. And I went flying, the bricks went flying, and I lost a whole cube. Over 500 bricks just went all over the road there. It was amazing. That's where you go get the Bobcat, and you just kind of scoop it up, and you dump it somewhere, and then you go on with life. And chalk it up as oops, you know? But I won't go there. Never mind. We have one particular guy that I don't know what it is. He is, like, cursed because he'll break, like, 10 or 12 cubes a day. I don't know what it is. Yesterday, it was just bad enough. He had a bad one. I don't know if it was two cubes or four cubes that just totally destroyed. We have a front-end loader, and he just gets on the radio and calls that dude back there and has that big old front-end loader to scoop up that whole thing and just take it off somewhere. There's no point in rebuilding after that. It's just a total loss. But when... Oh, man, it's just fun to watch that guy. Sorry. You just never know when it's going to happen. It's like, you see him with a plow. It's like, oh, got another one. There he goes. So, anyway, back to the sermon. Y'all are distracting me. When one brick falls out of the cube, it loosens the band and jeopardizes the security of the other bricks around it and can cause the other bricks to fall out of the protection of the bands. The brick is now free, out in the road, all alone, like I said, free to get run over by a forklift. And when you run over one of these things, oftentimes it stays intact the first time you run over it. But once you run over it about 7 times, it gets reduced to a pile of rubble. Something along the lines of that. And that's what happens when you get out of the bands. It's far better to watch it happen to someone else and to decide to do what's right because of it than to experience it yourself because you have chosen to do that which is wrong.
Yes.
It's a lot better off for you to just watch it not good that it happens to people, but if there are people that left, it's good to kind of watch them from a distance before you go off that way to see if you really want to go off that way. And the answer is no. Trust me, the answer is no. They had no bands of protection to keep the guy out of the band of protection. Now, let's imagine that the whole banded cube of bricks is you individually. If you cast off the bands of your convictions, then your life eventually will fall apart. Sometimes immediately, sometimes gradually. But there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Young ladies and women, they want love. Men want peace. A girl will give up peace for love. And a young man will give up love for peace. Some girls, you just look at them and they... I don't know of anyone in our church that have done this. I'm not saying any of that. But you look at some girl, some lady, and she's run off with this drug pusher. And you're just like, what in the world? Why is she doing that? Well, because she wants love. She thinks that she can get love from that person. And she will give up that peace to obtain that love. But when you go off and you forsake the Lord, they are looking for a love and a peace that cannot be obtained. They are searching for that. Love and peace can be found with Christ. And that's the only peace where you can get true love and true peace. And when you go off, when you go off to college, and heaven forbid, you meet that one. You meet that one. You just look at her, and it's just, that's the one. My wife, that's the way it was. And when I saw her, I was a master's student at Providence, and I was at Commonwealth, graduated from there, didn't end up finding a wife there. I talked to Pastor Ross. He said, go up to Providence, there's more fish in the sea. So I did. And when I get to Providence as a master's student, all the students are saying, he's here for a wife. I'm like, no, that's not, because you don't want people to think that. So I'm like, no, I'm here because my pastor told me to come here. But my pastor told me I'd come there to get a wife, so. Anyways. It worked. I mean, hey. Been married for 8 years now. But she and I stayed right. We didn't run off. We didn't do anything stupid. We met, got married, happily married now for 8 years, plan on being happily married the next 8 years. The Lord tarries. At least 8 years. We'll see about 9. Let's see if she can put up with me for that long. But I found the peace and love that I needed because I stayed in the right place. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, and that includes those Christians who are on the wicked path. And a Christian can get on a wicked path. There are some mighty wealthy people out there that would give it all away if they could purchase peace of mind and peace of heart. That's the making of a brick. Folks, God's not trying to hurt us by sending us through the drying and firing times. He's not trying to hurt us. He's trying to form us. He's trying to make us better so we can do something more for Him. Also, the firing process, it hardens us so that when trials do come along, we don't just completely fall apart. We have some stability. We have some structure, something we can hold on to, something we can make it with. He's trying to help us get through those times so we'll last better through the harder times. God wants to do a work through you. He wants to do a work through you. And these things are for your good. Some of these bricks will sit in the yard for a few weeks, and some have been sitting there for years before they will go to the place where they will accomplish their purpose. But while you are waiting for God to reveal to you His ultimate purpose for your life, do not fall away from God. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in church. Stay in church. Keep listening to the preaching. Keep a tender, moldable heart. Keep praying, and you will be surprised what God will teach and what He will use you for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Lord, not entirely sure how to give an invitation on this one, but I pray, God, you'd please just do a work in the hearts of the people. Lord, we'll have a few verses of invitation. I pray, God, if there's someone who needs to come and pray and deal with something, Lord, I pray that they would. May you give the glory and honor for what's done. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.